Welcome back to the Tank Me Later podcast. I'm your host, Noah Rubin, and this is episode 66. And today we're going to be going through the rookie draft from the 30-team TML Dynasty League that I host. And we're just going to be talking about some of those picks. So let's go ahead and get into it. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and put it up on the screen so that anybody that's watching can follow along with me as I talk about some of the picks. This is just in a slideshow. The Fantrax draft board would not fit on the screen. It would be very impractical to use just because it's two rounds and 30 picks. So it's just, this looks prettier. It's easier to read everything as opposed to having to continue to scroll back and forth just to look at a Fantrax board. So this is picks 1 through 10 up on the screen. And you know, just before I start reading them, in case you're listening and can't see them right now, just keep in mind a few things. There were a couple of auto picks, one early on. We just kept it rolling because it's an actual league. It wasn't a mock. If you miss your 8-hour clock and didn't set a queue, I'm sorry. yeah. So we'll see. And then other than that, I think at times real life draft spot did impact rookie landing spot a little bit. At times it didn't. So it's a pretty interesting draft. You won't be able to see who made each pick from the league, which, you know, sometimes impacts like where players were picked, because this is 30-team league. Most everything's pretty standard, 9-cat, but you start 5 players and it's all flex spots, so whatever position you want. So it's not like, you know, some teams needed help at center, so you go to the center. It might be, hey, this is the way this team is built to punt X categories. So that's why they went with this player, because it fits. So I guess keep that in mind a little bit. Impacts it a little bit, but shouldn't have a big impact overall. But yeah, so 1, Alex Saar, 2, Donovan Klingon, 3, Reed Sheppard, 4, Zach Edey, 5, Ron Holland, 6, Bub Carrington, 7, Dalton Knecht, 8, Stephon Castle, 9, Rob Dillingham, and 10 was the auto pick. And because of Fantrax's board, it was Bronny James. So that stinks. But we won't dive into analysis on Bronny James. You can get enough of that literally anywhere else. But we will talk about probably a little bit more in depth some of these early picks as opposed to some of the you know, end of the second round picks. Alex Saar was first. I think a lot of different rookie boards had him 1 or 2. I had him 1. The top 3 is actually how I had my top 3 pre-draft or pre this draft, post NBA draft. But I think I wouldn't be mad if anybody went ahead and put Reed Sheppard at 1. I think that's probably what should be the case based on what we've seen very early in summer league. Now, granted, summer league isn't going to define a career. Like, a lot of players play really bad in summer league and end up being good. A lot of players play good in summer league and end up being bad. However, Reed Sheppard has looked phenomenal. Alex Saar just shot out of 15 last night. Does that mean that I'm out on Alex Saar? Everyone should be out on Alex Saar? No. Do you have the right to be concerned about a 7-footer shooting 0-15? Yeah, it wasn't pretty. I'm not going to totally write him off. With anybody, I'd give them a few years before that happens, but I can't say I'm not a little bit concerned, especially with how hard I've been hyping him up for the past few months. So if it ends up not working out, then I guess my analysis was, I think he's going to be really good defensively. How he develops offensively will change whether or not he's a rotation piece or a star. And I think right now the offense is obviously a concern based on what we've kind of seen so far. So hopefully he'll be able to work through it. I'd love to say that, hey, he's going to go into Washington and be on a super talented roster that'll make things easier for him. But mean, that's not really the case. Maybe a little bit easier than a summer league team, but we'll see. Don't be out on Alex Starr yet. If somebody drafted him in your rookie draft and or he just slips in your rookie draft, then I would be still happy to take him top two. Like, I think the only rookie I'd definitely take over him right now is Reed Sheppard. So, yeah. But if somebody drafted him and is already like, I can't believe I made the worst pick ever. Like, somebody come get him off my team for cheap. Like, whatever. Like, I would go do that. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But if it happens, like, yeah, I'd go for it. Donovan Klingon went two. Still, like, the shot blocking and rebounding have been there this summer. Not everything else as much, but I mean, well, for him, it's going to be how does the offense develop? And I'm going to pull up box scores so that I can read them a little bit while I'm talking about it. But it's going to be about how much he can develop offensively, but I think playing with Portland's summer league team is a little bit different from playing with their regular season team. So hopefully Scoot Henderson's continuing to develop and they'll be able to be a fun pick and roll duo for a while. But yeah, so far he has through three games, a total of, let's see, 37 rebounds. So 12.3 rebounds per game. He has a total of 13 blocks. So that's 4.3 blocks per game. Both were kind of what we were expecting, but the offense has been pretty bad. Like the scoring, I guess, 8 points, and 4 points. Shooting, let's see, that's 3 of 10, 4 of 11, and 1 of 8. So another center that is not shooting the ball very good so far as a rookie in summer league. So it's not just Alex Starr, but it is, I guess, Alex Starr is shooting a little bit more from the perimeter than Donovan Klingon is. So maybe it's a little bit more justified, but both players, I think, will be getting easier looks with the point guards that they have during the regular season than the point guards they have now. That's not a disrespectful thing to Bob Carrington, but he's a rookie. It's different getting passes from Malcolm Brogdon than from a rookie or another rookie. So not too concerned yet for either of those guys, even though it hasn't been super pretty offensively for either of them. Reed Sheppard, yeah, he looks phenomenal. Goodness gracious, what a pick for Houston. Let's see, averaging through three games, 20 points, 4.7 rebounds, 4.7 assists, 3 steals, 1.3 blocks, 1.7 threes. Like, yeah, that's freaking good. And I think a lot of the concern was how it would translate, but he was very good in college, playing in a difficult conference, and he had unreal advanced stats, regular stats, the defensive numbers, the three-point shooting, and immediately comes into summer league and does the same thing. So what do you know? Yeah, great pick by Houston. Getting him at three in this league is also great value. I think right now it's just about opportunity. So we'll be keeping an eye on their rotation, seeing how Jalen Green plays, because if he doesn't play like he did during that late stretch last season when they almost made the playoffs, it wouldn't be shocking if people were calling for Reed Sheppard to get more minutes. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. There we go. Now I have my screen over here so I can see. For Zach Edey, this is a win now pick. He's played one summer league game so far, 14 points, 15 rebounds, and 4 blocks. Kind of what you'd expect in summer league for a 7'4" guy. I think that there's a chance that he starts. So you can't really say the same about many of these rookies. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think he's the only one that I would say feels like a safe starter, unless I'm totally just blanking on something, and I'll see it on the next slide. But on this first slide worth of picks, I guess I'd assume that Alex Starr starts. But we'll see. So I guess it'd be those two. Yeah. Edey will contribute from day one. I don't know how much scoring he'll do as a rookie, but the rebounds and blocks, and he should shoot at a high percentage. All that'll be there. That'll be great. Pretty safe pick there. Ron Holland went 5. I had him top 5 in my board, so that's fine. averaging 16 points, 8 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Not shooting the ball great, which was obviously the concern, but still rebounding well, getting a couple defensive stats, scoring. So, yeah, we'll see what his spot in the rotation looks like for JB Bickerstaff in year one. But fun upside, just got to develop the shot. So we'll be keeping an eye on it. Bub Carrington went 6, and this draft started before he started doing really good in summer league. So he's averaging 19 points, 5.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3.7 threes. He had almost a triple-double in their first game, 19-9-8. Shooting numbers have been subpar the last two games, but yeah, I remember this when he was picked. I was like, ooh, like that's a little early, I think, for Bub Carrington. But no, it's not. I think this looks like a good pick right now. I think he'll get an opportunity in Washington in year one. I think this is a case of, you know, I was saying at the beginning, sometimes real life draft position impacts how we draft in fantasy. And like, I'm guilty of it as well. So like, I was like, I don't know if I want to take Bub Carrington this early, but looks good so far. So yeah, I think we'll see what other moves Washington makes either this summer / by the trade deadline. Cause that'll, give him more or less minutes. Dalton Connect went 7. He's averaging 17.6 points, 4.4 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 1.6 steals, 2.2 threes. Just like all the other rookies, he's shooting below 40% from the field. I think it's also going back to Reed Sheppard, he's playing with Cam Whitmore. So that's why he's shooting 49% from the field. So that's a little bit better. It makes it a little easier when you look at the Lakers, like, sure, maybe some teams in summer league are like, it makes me mad how much attention Bronny James gets, and I'm going to take that matchup very seriously. But like the rest of their summer league team, so just looking at the roster, like Maxwell Lewis, that's another, like a guy, Moses Brown, Trent Forrest, Colin Castleton, but it's not like a ton of other guys that have a spotlight on them. Like when you go to Washington, they have 3 guys that were drafted in the first round. When you go to Houston, you have Cam Whitmore, you have Reed Sheppard, and they have AJ Griffin on there now. It's like Dalton Connect's the guy on the Lakers this summer. So a little bit more attention on him defensively. I think that shots will be easier for him during his rookie season than they have been this summer, because he's going to be playing with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And draw a little bit of attention from the defense. So he may not, he's averaging 1.6 steals. I don't think he'll do that much defensively, but I think he should be a good scorer as a rookie. So how that plays into fantasy, I'm not as high on it. I'm not as optimistic about it, but I personally think this pick was a little bit early, but I think hey, if you got your guy, go get your guy. That's my mentality with anything. If I'm too high on it, but you believe, go for it. Have fun. It's fantasy. Let's have fun. Stephon Castle is done for the summer now after an injury, but he averaged through 3 games, 17.3 points, 5.7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.3 threes, and 1.3 steals. The shooting percentage is a little bit low, but the big question mark for him has been the 3-point shooting. Shot 2 of 4 his first game, 0 of 6 the second game, and then 2 of 6 the third game. So not afraid to shoot him. Obviously working on him. Seeing him made 4 threes in 3 games. Like, nobody's asking him to be an elite shooter, but a competent shooter is kind of necessary to have success in the NBA as a starter for the most part. So we'll be keeping an eye on his shots. But it's encouraging to see him shoot them, because that's the thing. It's like Ben Simmons can't shoot. Everybody knows it, including him. So he's not shooting the balls. Like, that's what makes him a liability at times, and teams can play into that. But if Stephon Castle can at least make the defense respect his shot a little bit, it'll work wonders. Moving on to Rob Dillingham. He also hasn't shot the ball well this summer, low percentage, but he had 4-5-5 in his first game. Then he had 14-2-8. With 2 steals, 2 threes. And then he had 10-6-7 in his last game. obviously a fun player to watch. Explosive, good playmaker, can score, create his own shot, fun stuff. I think his role as a rookie is as kind of an electric sixth man, which is something that I've said in the past. And how much he develops will determine whether or not he can be the long-term starting point guard next to Ant, or if he's just destined to be a sixth man off the bench that's a really good scorer. Obviously, Minnesota, I would assume, believes that there's at least the upside that he can be the starting point guard of the future. And this isn't meant to be like a disrespectful thing, but I think this is also like a pretty good scenario for his career, but like a Jordan Clarkson, you got just an electric sixth man that you can just kind of give the ball and let him do his thing. Like, is that where it's headed for Rob Dillingham? Like, maybe. I'm thinking that they're hoping that he can be the starting point guard of the future, but I guess we need to also just understand that, like, that's a possibility as well. But it's not a bad thing. May not be as ideal for fantasy. But yeah, we'll be keeping an eye to see if that field goal percentage can improve at all. And I'm going to move us on to the second group of guys. As I pull my stats back up. All right. So we got Khalil Ware at 11, Zachary Risacher at 12, Nikola Topic at 13, Montrezl Harrell is 14, 15, Jared McCain, 16, Cody Williams, 17, Deron Holmes, 18, Tijan Salon, 19, Isaiah Collier, and 20, Devin Carter. So first things first, the Topic pick, I think, was excellent value. And based on what, like, just, it'll take a while, but I think it's going to end up being really good value. And then Modest Buzelis so far this summer is looking like this is going to be a really good value pick. He's been very solid. Let's see. 20.3 points, 5 rebounds, 1.3 steals, 2 blocks, 1.7 threes. Shooting the ball better than he did in the G League, so that's fun. So, yeah, I mean, I think Topic and Buzelis are looking like excellent value picks right now. I thought Khalil Ware was a little bit high when he was taken here, but I think he's looked really good so far this summer. What's his role as a rookie? Probably more of a backup, but potentially they could play him and Bam at the same time at the 4 and 5 and some fun lineups that maybe allow Bam to have a little bit more freedom defensively with Khalil Ware backing up as a shot blocker. So that'll be a fun experiment for Eric Spoelstra. Risacher went 12th. That's a pretty big slide for a guy that was just selected number one overall. I think he's looked pretty decent this summer. Nothing special. Not like he hasn't looked like a number one pick to me, but I think he's looked good. So, but I think that was kind of the whole thing with this class, was that there wasn't going to be like there wasn't a guaranteed star at the top. I think a lot of guys have looked good. So, you know, not super concerned about this whole class being just really bad. I don't think that was the case. But the number one overall pick is looked pretty average. So hopefully he'll, the experience with Summer League will have him be more ready for the regular season and he can look more like a number one pick. But we'll see. Jared McCain at 15, he had a good start and now it's just been kind of, so overall this summer, averaging 12 points, 5.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.5 threes, shooting 27.5% from the floor. I mean, it's not super pretty. I think, the experience will be good. He'll have a different role in the regular season than he does this summer. So hopefully he'll be a little bit better. Cody Williams, I think this was a pretty good value pick here. And then he played a few Summer League games and I was like, oh, crap. Why was I high on this guy? And then they went to Vegas and he reminded me, oh yeah, it's like, he's good. That's why. The first 3 games, he had a total of 15 points. He shot 0 of 8 in their third game. I believe that was the Salt Lake City Summer League. Then they went to Vegas. Keyonte George stopped playing. More shot opportunities for Cody Williams and he automatically scored 21. And then he scored 14 in their second one. Had also steal 2 blocks in that last game. Just looks better, playing better. So if there was anybody a little bit nervous after Salt Lake City, I was also nervous, and I think it's okay. Like, players play bad in summer league, especially as rookies, and they figure it out because it's their first exposure to the NBA. So it's okay. We're good here with Cody Williams. Daron Holmes obviously had the Achilles injury, which really stinks. This pick was before that, before the injury. So he's not going to obviously contribute this season. Hopefully he can figure it out after that, come back healthy. We'll be hoping for that and rooting for that. Tijan Salon didn't really do much in his first summer league game. And then, or I guess he had 8-7 in 14 minutes. And then he came and had a double-double, 10-10 in 19 minutes. He had an injury a few weeks ago, but he's back. And already, I think the big thing for him was he brought a lot of energy, and that's why they liked him, and automatically comes in, gets a double-double in less than 20 minutes. So I think he'll be a fun rotation piece for Charlotte this season. I don't think he'll start because Miles Bridges is back, but I think he's a guy that'll contribute to winning through energy. I don't know. I mean, like, it'll just how he develops as a player, because he's still very young, will determine how good he can be for fantasy, but I think he's a guy that will just contribute from day one in some form or fashion. Whether that's in the box score or not, I don't know yet. Which is makes him an interesting guy to look at for fantasy. We'll move on to Isaiah Collier, talk about him a little bit. So he's averaging 11 points, 3.6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals so far this summer. The steal numbers have been good. The assists have been good at times, okay at other times. Pretty mixed bag for him so far, whether, you know, it was in Salt Lake City or in Vegas. It's been pretty consistent. So taking Keontae George out of the equation hasn't given him a nice boost or anything like that. But I think he's played pretty well for a guy that fell to the end of the first round. Like, most guys that are picked at 29 aren't playing as well as Isaiah Collier is. But I think, I mean, he slipped to the end of the first round. It wasn't that he was supposed to go that late. Like, preseason, he was supposed to be one of the top picks, and then didn't have a great season. So still a very talented player. I said at the time, great pick for Utah. And that's why he went 19 in this draft after going 29th in the NBA draft. So we'll be, again, just hoping to see him get more run this summer, because I don't know how much he'll play as a rookie due to how many other guards they have before they pull the plug. Of course, if Utah once again pulls the plug after the trade deadline, decides that they're going to rebuild, and there's minutes for Isaiah Collier. 20th, Devin Carter, another guy injured that we probably won't see for a while. I don't remember the exact diagnosis for him, but it's going to be a while before we see him play. But should be able to contribute to the Kings early on. And I'm going to move on to 21 through 30. So we've got, going back to my stats, pick 21, Jacoby Walter. Then we have Eve Misi, Dylan Jones, Kyle Filipowski, Ryan Dunn at 25. Then we have Tyler Smith, Cam Christie, Terrence Shannon, Jalen Tyson, and Jonathan Mogbo. Yeah, the Walter pick, I think, was a little bit early for me. I was, like, high on him earlier on in the process and then just, like, slowly fell down my draft board. He's averaging 8.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a 3 so far this summer. Not ideal. Eve Misi has also been a little bit disappointing this summer, based on the numbers I've seen. Through 3 games, 7 points, 4.3 rebounds, 1.3 blocks, shooting 39% from the floor. His thing was that he was going to be a good athletic rim runner, and he's, like, not rebounding the ball well, and he's not shooting a high percentage. So makes those were supposed to be some of his strengths in fantasy. So it's a little bit disappointing so far. Dylan Jones has had a solid summer. The shooting percentage hasn't been super consistent, but he did have the one game where he had 21 on 7 of 8 shooting with 7 boards, 4 assists, and 3 threes. Other than that, the numbers have been pretty up and down as far as the shooting, but the like rebounds and assists have been pretty consistently solid. So I think he's an older rookie, so he should be able to contribute a little bit early on in comparison, a little bit more. But I think after he had the 21-point game, it was like, oh, like this guy is – because I remember this pick I think was made right around that time. Because I guess it was a little over a week ago. And I remember trying or thinking like, I probably need to try and trade in here and try and grab Dylan Jones. But then he went pretty shortly after. I was like, good pick. Kyle Filipowski went 24th after being drafted in the second round. So far this summer, in 19 minutes, he's averaging 5.8 points, 5 rebounds, 1.4 assists, shooting 36.4% from the floor. Not ideal, not great. More experience this summer should help. And then we have Ryan Dunn, went 25th. Not as many defensive stats this summer as I was hoping for. I guess he's played 2 games. There was a bunch in the first game and then none in this last game, which is a little bit disappointing. And then the offense hasn't really been there at all, which was obviously a big question mark for him. So his bread and butter in fantasy is going to be the defensive numbers. I was hoping that he would, have worked on his shot enough that he could maybe give us a couple threes, a couple catch and shoot threes, but not yet. Still hoping. Tyler Smith went 26th in this draft. So far this summer, he's averaging 8.6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1.3 blocks, shooting 45% from the floor. It's better than a lot of rookies. I don't know how many minutes will be there for him during his first season, but he'll be worth keeping an eye on. Terrence Shannon has looked good in summer league. I know he had the big game. I'm going to pull that up. So he's averaging 17.7 points, 3.7 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 1 steal, 1.7 blocks this summer. But he did have the 125-point game kickoff this summer. And then he had a 19-point game. And then he had only a 9-point game, but he only took 5 shots. Just didn't shoot the ball as much, didn't get as many looks. So he's looked really good this summer. A guy that was dominant in college basketball, and he's 24 years old. So he should look good this summer. How much he plays for Minnesota's rookie, not sure. I would assume that they drafted him in the hopes that he can at least be part of the rotation during year one. Not as high of an upside guy, but if he can hoop and they'll use him, then maybe it'll work. So 29th, Jalen Tyson has had a good summer, 14.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1.5 threes, shooting 50% from the floor. And this is only through 2 games, so small sample size. I think his role is going to be a little bit different during the regular season for them than it is this summer. But still encouraging to see him play well. If I'm remembering correctly off the top of my head, he was also a good rebounder in college. So that is translating. I don't need to say off the top of my head. I have a computer in front of me. To verify that. 6.1 rebounds per game at Texas Tech and 6.8 rebounds per game in his last season at Cal. So yes, pretty good rebounder in college for a wing. That's translating. So that bodes well for fantasy. If you're able to also step into the NBA and rebound well, that's a good thing. And then wrapping out the first round, Jonathan Mogbo, who hasn't been great this summer, hasn't played much, only 13 minutes per game, 3.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2 assists. Still a high upside pick. I know he was ranked higher on a lot of boards post-draft than 30. So he definitely slipped a little bit in this. But I think that goes back to what I was saying about real life draft position versus actual fantasy value. So that was the first round of picks. We will, I guess, kind of go through this next part a little bit quicker. So Kyshawn George, great value right there. He went 31, first rounder. I'm not going to go through all the numbers for all these guys for the sake of time, but I'm not a huge Kyshawn George guy, but I think it was pretty good value. And matter of fact, before I start reading through, I'm going to get my handy dandy pronunciation guide and just make sure that I'm saying everything correctly, because that was tweeted out and I've been referencing it a lot. So I should be able to say everything correctly. So Pacome Dottier went 32 to the Knicks. Baylor Shireman went 33 to the Celtics. Went 32 and 33 in this draft. 34, AJ Johnson. 35, Tristan Da Silva. 36, Jamal Sheed. 37, Johnny Furphy. 38, Nikola Jurčić. Wow, okay, I was saying that. I've been saying that wrong. Nikola Jurčić. 39, Harrison Ingram. And then 40, we have Tyler Kolek. So I guess I haven't really been referencing this at all. I didn't have any first-round picks in this draft due to trades I made like around the weeks prior to this draft. But I did have a couple of second-rounders. I was one pick away from Jurčić and ended up with Harrison Ingram and Tyler Kolek back-to-back. I was hoping to get my Hawk. Johnny Furphy has also had a really good summer, so that's going to end up being good value, I think. Baylor Shireman has looked really good as well. Next, we'll move on to picks 41 and through 50. We have Antonio Reeves with Cam at 41, 42, Cam Spencer, 43, Enrique Freeman, 44, Odembona. And then at 45, we have Ulrich Shamshe, 46, Jalen Wells, 47, we have Osa Iguodaro, 48, Trey Alexander, 49, Juan Nunez, and 50, Pelle Larsson. Apologies for the way I'm saying these. I'm still learning them. I think Trey Alexander's a guy that can see a good bit of minutes for Denver in year one. Cam Spencer's had a pretty solid summer. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jalen Wells also had a couple of big games this summer. I'm trying to remember what I blurbed versus what I read. And then we'll move on to the final 10 picks. So we have Melvin Ejinsa at 51, Brandon Carlson at 52, AJ Mitchell at 53, Reese Beekman at 54. Kiwi Aluma, I don't have a pronunciation guide for that one, so I apologize if that's incorrect, at 55. Tristan Newton, 56. Justin Edwards, 57. Bobby Klempman at 58. This is KJ Simpson. That's Fantrax writing out his name. At 59, Kevin McCullough at 60. I got KJ Simpson at 59. I really liked him pre-draft. Didn't love the landing spot. Don't love that he's already injured, but I still like his talent, so that's why I went with him. AJ Mitchell has been a stud this summer. Shout out to Angle Fantasy Basketball for talking about him before the draft, being very high on him, and now he's done really well this summer. So make sure to check them out on Twitter. Shout out to them. But yeah, that's how this draft played out. I have for Aluma, Summer League. He's on their Summer League team. He doesn't actually have a contract, to my understanding. Then because it had NA next to his name on Fantrax. So I'm just going under the assumption that he doesn't have a full contract with them. He's just playing with them this summer. But that's going to do it. Those are the 60 picks that were made in our rookie draft. I'm not saying they were all the best picks or all the worst picks, but those were the picks. So I just wanted to go through them quickly, so everybody could see and maybe put it in reference to their draft, see who went too high, too low, and whether they still feel good about their picks in their league after seeing how another league went. So that's going to do it for this one. I'm hoping to have a couple, episodes in the coming weeks of talking about Summer League, talking with some different analysts just about how different players are playing and their thoughts on them before we get into draft season. So I'm sure there will be a lot of mock drafts and startup drafts that we talk about and go through on this. But when we get to those, it'll be a lot of fun, a lot of exciting picks to be made after a fun summer. So that's going to do it for this one. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.